KSL at night. KSL at night.
And welcome back to KSL at Night. You're here with me, Leah Murray, and we are talking about all the interesting things that are happening. And if you've missed out on any of our shows, or you are catching us in the middle of one of these segments and you want to go back and listen more carefully, you can listen to it on kslpodcast.com after the show's been aired. Just look up KSL at Night. All right, listeners, so here's the thing. One of my favorite local entities are planning commissions all across America. These are the people who make decisions about what things are going to look like in communities. My dad served for years as a planning commissioner in his county where I grew up, and he would make decisions about, you know, like where roads would go and like when you were building a big box store, like what that would look like. And I always tell my own students up at Weber State, if you are at all interested in how communities grow or how they thrive, getting to know your local planners and who's making those decisions and maybe even going to those open meetings when they have them is a really good way to do that. Along these lines, there is a new plan just released to the Salt Lake City Council about the southwest corner of Salt Lake City's Ballpark neighborhood. So right now, I just mentioned big box stores, right? Right now, this corner filled with big box stores and is a pretty auto-centric place in the city. And city planners released a new plan to try to address what growth might look like over in that corner of the city. We've got with us Nick Norris, planning director at the Salt Lake City Planning Division, to help us understand what's happening. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, Nick, if I said anything wrong, make sure to correct me. But I hope we're talking about the right side, part of the city that I was mentioning. Can you talk to us about this new plan and a little bit, why are we planning there? Does that make sense? So sometimes I do think cities like Salt Lake City seem, I don't want to say old, but they feel like they've been around for a long time. So you kind of wonder, what planning do you actually need to do? So walk us through like why there is a new plan for this area. What's going on over there?
Sure. So the first thing is obviously the 300 West corridor itself is changing quite a bit. You know, it's historically and traditionally been this really heavy commercial street, you know, like you said, with a lot of the big box retailers located there, some kind of light industrial types of uses as well. It's a really important economic corridor for the city. But we're starting to see that change. And some of that is reflected in some of the work the city's done with rebuilding the street and adding the bike infrastructure and bike paths and things like that and the street trees. But it's also happening because there's a desire for some of those property owners to have their properties be something different. And so we're starting to see apartment buildings built and more restaurants and things like that coming to the corridor. And so that's kind of one of the reasons why, you know, you're never done planning your city because cities are constantly undergoing different degrees of change. The second part of it is that a couple of years ago, the Utah legislature passed a law that requires all cities to develop what the state law calls station area plans around all of the track stations and streetcar stations and bus rapid transit stations. So a very high percentage of those stations are in Salt Lake City, and we already have stationary plans for most of those, but this is one where we don't have that. And so we're going through that process to create it so that we can satisfy that provision in state code. But more importantly, because we recognize and are experiencing the change that's happening.
No, and your point's so well taken. Cities are living creatures, right, Nick? So they are always dynamically growing and people changing. I appreciate that so much. That point's so well taken. Can you talk to us about how it works? So is it like Nick Norris sits in his room and he thinks about what that would look like and then comes out with a plan? I'm sure that's not how that works, but like, how do you do this work? Like, what are the steps in place?
Yeah, well, Nick Norris does sit in his room and think about those things, but that's not usually fully reflected in the plan. So what we do whenever we're talking about a plan like this is that we first want to make sure that we're talking to people who have some stake in that area, right? So property owners, business owners, residents, people who work in these areas, and understanding how they use the corridor, how they use the station, the track station there, what they experience, what they feel like is makes it harder for them to be in the area for whatever reason, and what kinds of amenities they'd like to see happen there. So, for example, one of the things that we're hearing a lot from the community is that, and this is true, is that there's a lack of open space and, you know, in parks in this immediate area. And that's because of the nature of how it developed over time. And so that's one of those principles that we're like, okay, if we need more parks or open space in this area, how do we go about doing that? And where might that be?
Yeah. And I like how you just said the word principle. I think I was reading in the article on KSL.com that there were four project principles in your plan. So it was like promoting a walkable district, supporting various types of mobility, encouraging mixed-use redevelopment along 300 West and close to the station, creating a system of public and private green spaces. I think that's what you were just talking about. And then also incorporating density near the station area through a variety of housing options. So when you talk about principles, Nick, what does that mean? Like, as you are collecting information and gathering information from the stakeholders and the people who live there in the community, Do themes emerge? Does that make sense? And that's how you kind of land on what those principles will look like and guiding you going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. So these are definitely themes. They're also related to various goals that either the mayor or the city council have established for the city. So, you know, we know that housing is a significant issue in the city, and we know that it has many different prongs to it. And whether it's affordability, availability, number of housing of homes that are available for families, you know, and I think you've probably had on your show discussions about the school closures in the city, and that's been in the media a lot. And part of that is, you know, we're seeing fewer households with kids in the city. And so what can we do from a policy perspective to help remove that or change that trend? And so those are how the, basically how the different principles or goals are identified, and then we'll identify specific actions about how to get there and how to help achieve those goals.
Okay, and so you've presented this, but I feel like that you didn't present it, you know, on a tablet, right? Like, it's not on a stone tablet, right? So it is not necessarily etched in stone yet. Is the process, you know, like, kind of where are you in the process, right? So I understand you've gathered information. Now you've presented it to the city council. Is there now still time for the public to give feedback, or like, what are your next steps?
So now we're just starting kind of the formal adoption process. So in Salt Lake City, that includes a public input period, and then we'll go to the planning commission for a recommendation, and they'll make a recommendation to the city council. And ultimately, the city council will make a decision on whether to adopt the plan or not, or to modify it some way. And the public is always encouraged to provide comment all the way up through that city council action. So there's probably several months left in the total process before the council will make a decision on this.
And if it all goes, I'm just going to say well, because if it all goes well and the city council agrees with what you recommend, when would we expect to start seeing the changes along that corridor?
Yeah, that's a great question, because the change happens over time, right? And so people will probably start seeing some of the early changes, things like changing the zoning to align with the plan. That starts to set the stage for future development to start implementing the plan. Over time, you may see the city invest in certain amenities. Like, you know, one of the things the plan identifies is a potential trail along the tracks line. And so you may start seeing discussions about how we go about doing that, working with UTA and making sure that we have enough space to do that without jeopardizing the operations of the light rail line and making sure it stays safe for people and things like that. So they happen over time. Plans are never intended to be, like you said, etched in stone. They're guides to help us make informed decisions as a community over time.
Okay. Nick Norris, Planning Director at the Salt Lake City Planning Division. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Of course. Thank you for your interest in talking to us.
Absolutely. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to KSL at Night. No show tomorrow because there is a Jazz game. And even though they didn't make the postseason, we absolutely are still rooting for them. So go Jazz.